بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our first session for Arabic lessons in Hadith, level 3. And for those of you who may be here for the first time, we're going to just make a brief, very very brief introduction to this particular book, and give a brief explanation on how the class is going to be conducted. I just want to make sure everybody has a book, right? Yes. Everybody who's here for the class has a book, and also everybody has given me a registration slip. Okay, I'll take it before you leave, no problem.
With the debit card?
Huh?
The debit card number?
We don't need debit card. there are no payments. We just need your email address and your name, that's all. Okay, like I said, normally we're going to start right after Salat, so this class officially, the time for the class is from 1:45 after the performance of Dhuhr Salat until, 12:45 to 1:45. Now, please try to be on time for the salat. It's very important, yani in general, in our life as Muslims, that we yani perform the salat on time. And secondly, because the class is going to start immediately after the salat, so if you come late for the salat, then you won't be able to start the class on time. Okay, so please come so that you can perform the prayer in Jama'ah, and we can perform the prayer on time, and we can start the class on time, and we have people online who are joining us in other places, in other cities, even in other countries. So the time that we start on time is very important. It's very important. It's not just the people sitting here, but other people expecting us to start at a certain time. So we want to try to be timely. Okay, there are a number of things that we could say, but for the sake of time, we're going to get right into the introduction to the book and take the first hadith today, inshallah. We're going to take the first hadith today. Again, for those who may be here for the first time, we are intending to memorize these 20 hadith. We intend to memorize them, inshallah. And the best thing to do in order to memorize them is to do them one at a time, every week. Yani, don't let it pile up on you. Every week, memorize the hadith immediately. Memorize it as soon as we take it or before that. All right, so please try to stay on top of it. Now, yeah, another 20. Yeah, only until we get to 100, 1,000, whatever. No problem. These are like the previous session, they're all short hadith. None of them are very long. Maybe two or three of them are a little bit long. The rest of them are like the hadith we took previously. Any 10, 12, 13, 15 words like that. They're not very long hadith. Okay, let's open up to the introduction to the book. On page 2, it says Taqdeem, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This section here is an introduction to the course itself. I'm going to try to go through it quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I just want you to have some idea in case you have trouble understanding what's in the introduction. Maybe you don't understand all the words, so we're going to look at it quickly, okay? So he begins by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalat wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. Okay, we all have a general idea what this means, right? Prayers on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praise to Allah. Then he says, وهذا مقرر الحديث النبوي الشريف للمستوى الثالثة من طلاب شعبة تعليم اللغة العربية لغير الناطقين بها. The meaning of this is the curriculum. Yani, this is the curriculum for the study of the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for the third level of the students in the شعبة تعليم اللغة العربية لغير الناطقين بها, means the Arabic Institute for non-Arabic students who are learning Arabic, yani the Arabic Institute of the Islamic University Medina, for students whose first language is not Arabic. This is the curriculum for study of hadith for the third level of students in the Arabic program. And there are four levels. This is the third level. And the book that we took previously was from the second level. This book contains 20 hadith. And care has been taken such that most of these hadith are from Ahadith al-Ahkam. Most of these hadith, 20, are from Ahadith al-Ahkam, meaning hadith that deal with legal rulings. Deal with legal rulings. As opposed to hadith that deal with encouraging doing good deeds or such other things. Legal rulings. Legal rulings related to Salat, Zakat, Siyam, and so on like this. And this, the reason for most of the hadith being from this category of hadith is because al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, the legal rulings in Islam, are from the most important of what will be studied by students at the Islamic University. From the most important of what they will study is the ahkam al-shar'iyya, legal rulings in Islam. And we have made, we have explained these hadith with a brief explanation. Brief explanation. I mean, the people who wrote this book, they intended to make the explanation brief, even though they could have explained it much more lengthy. But they explained it with a brief explanation, بِلُغَةٍ مُيَسَّرَةٍ تُنَاسِبْ مُسْتَوَى الطُّلَّابِ. And the language that's used is an easy, simple language that is appropriate for the level of the students at this point. And we have mentioned under each hadith, مَا يَسْتُفَادُ مِنْهَا مِنْ أَحْكَامُ وَأَدَابُ وَأَخْلَاقُ. And we have mentioned under each hadith, with its explanation, what are some of the benefits in terms of legal rulings, in terms of manners, and in terms of character that may be derived from these hadith. And since understanding the text of the hadith is based upon understanding the mufradat and the taraqib fihi, understanding the text of the hadith is based upon understanding the individual words and the phrases in the hadith, for that reason we have explained the mufradat, the individual vocabulary words here, and also we have made clear some of the masail al-nahwiyya al-warida fil hadith, some of the grammatical issues, grammar issues that are mentioned in these hadith. We also mentioned some of the grammatical issues. Likewise, after every hadith, we have placed a variety of questions. Some of them are related to understanding, al-isti'ab, understanding the hadith, and some of them are related to al-masail al-lughawiyya al-nahwiyya. Al-lughawiyya al-nahwiyya. Some of them are related to the issues of vocabulary and issues of grammar. And it is incumbent, yambagi, an tuhil جميع هذه الأسئلة شفوياً ثم تحريراً في الدفاتر. It is incumbent upon the student to attend to do all of the questions orally, in the class, and then in writing in your notebooks. You're supposed to write down the answers to the questions after each hadith. Naam Nasir.
So which line you're going to get lost?
I'm just trying to give you an idea what's here, that's all. Don't worry about it. Don't try to follow. You don't have to follow. It's not important. What's important is just get the idea of what they're saying here. And the point here is what? That you should try to answer those questions that came with each hadith orally in the classroom and in writing on your own time during the week. And for the benefit, and to complete the benefit, I'm near the end of the page now. I'm like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. وَإِتْمَامْ لِلْفَائِدَةِ وَضَعْنَا فِي أَوْلَ الْكِتَابِ مُقَدِّمَةً فِي بَعْضِ الْمُصْطَلَحَاتِ الْحَدِيثِيَةِ كَمُتَّفَقًا عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّفْظُ لِلْفُلَانِ وَمَا إِلَى ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَتَّصِلُ بِعِلْمِ الْحَدِيثِ. And here, he closes the paragraph almost to the bottom of the page saying, to complete the benefit, we have also placed in the beginning of this book an introduction to some of the hadith technical terminologies. That introduction is not in our book now. That was in the original introduction. But in any case, we will be talking about some of these expressions and we'll explain them as we come across them. Like, muttafaqun alayh, we already know this expression, right? It means what? Agreed upon. By who? Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And like a love li fulan. This means the wording of this particular hadith is for so-and-so, meaning one of the collectors of hadith. If more than one scholar collected it, then if the wording is different in two or three of them, then the wording that they used exactly, they were mentioned. This is the wording from Bukhari, or this is the wording from Muslim, or Tirmidhi, or whoever. And such things like this related to the study of hadith science. Finally, they said, we would love that the teacher take to look at two important matters in teaching this curriculum for this particular level. The first of those matters is the necessity of the students reading these hadith miraran, repeatedly, again and again and again. That means what? We're not just going to read it in class, but you have to, during the week, practice reading the hadith over and over and over again until you are able to perfect the reading of it, until you can read it with ease, correctly and properly. فَلَا يُخْتِعُ, so that you will not make mistakes in the nutq, the pronunciation of the words, وَلَا فِي الْإِعْرَابِ, and you will not be saying هُوَ تَهُورِ, but you have to say what? هُوَ أَتُهُورُ, يعني so that you pronounce the words correctly and grammatically you understand the i'rab of the words in the sentence, so you know it doesn't end with dhamma, kasra, fatha, or whatever. And this comes with what? Practice. The second matter that they said the teacher should pay attention to is that the teacher should not dictate explanations of the hadith to the student. Meaning, yani go into long explanations of these hadith and the student has to write them down. Rather, what is more important is to make the student pay attention, to tie the student to the hadith itself, to the metin, the text of the hadith, such that they will know all of what has come in that hadith of individual words and phrases. For indeed, the student being strong linguistically is a matter that will enable the student to benefit from the books of hadith in the future. So the point is what? Our study of hadith here has two aspects. The main aspect is to strengthen us linguistically in the Arabic language. But at the same time, we want to benefit from the meanings of the hadith. So there's some discussion, any brief discussions, not lengthy, detailed discussions. Some of these hadith, maybe we can go for 10 pages with them, but we're only going to have one or two paragraphs. Because the intent really is just to get the general meaning of it, but more importantly, to understand the words and the phrases and the linguistic, yani rules, and yani linguistic points that come in the hadith. Then finally they said, that being said, we ask Allah that He benefit the youth of the Muslims, yani abna al-Muslimin, He means the young people of the Muslims, and that He makes this work of ours to be purely for His noble face, yani for the sake of Allah alone. Indeed, He is the one who hears, and He is the one who responds. Innahu sami'un mujib. Okay, that being said, after that there's an introduction, muqaddamatun fi علم الحديث. On page 3, in the middle of the page, it says مقدمة في علم الحديث, introduction to the knowledge of hadith, the science of hadith. This is a very brief introduction. There are 5 points contained here, and in each session, inshallah, we'll look at one point. And today we're not going to go through 5 points. Maybe if you don't know any of this, it will be too overwhelming. Alright, so we'll take one point in each session, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We'll take one point and make sure that you understand it well. Okay, so today, inshallah, we're going to take one point, but we'll take it at the end of the class, inshallah. First, we're going to go to the hadith now. Okay. Excuse me one moment. Who has the brother's number?
I do.
Well, no, not Farad. Oh, Farad. This is Elihu's wife.
Oh, Wally. Oh, that's okay.
So I have to call Elihu and tell him that she went to what hospital? Kingsborough Hospital.
Yeah.
Please, somebody call him.
Yeah, I got it.
Make sure that he knows she went to Kingsborough Hospital. There's some sisters who went with her, but he needs to go to the hospital immediately. And we'll wait for the other thing. We'll wait, inshallah. We'll wait. And as long as we do it before Asr, inshallah. Okay. So, today, inshallah, we're going to take the first hadith. In each class, we're going to take one hadith. And if we have time at the end, we'll take a little by little, point by point, from this introduction to the knowledge of hadith, the science of hadith, inshallah. So we'll come back to the introduction on page 3, and maybe today we'll take the first point. Okay, now what we're going to do now, we're going to go to the first hadith. on page 5. Al-Hadith Al-Awwal on page 5. Turn to page 5. In the middle of the page, at the end of the Hadith, Introduction to Hadith Science, in the middle of page 5, it says in the middle of the center of the page, Al-Hadithu Al-Awwalu. Al-Hadithu Al-Awwalu. Is anybody that doesn't know where the place is at? If you don't know where it's at, tap the person next to you and let somebody help you find it. Okay? So that you're with us now, because now you have to follow word by word, line by line. Give us your name and email address, please. Tayyib. But we want to put you on the list for this class, inshallah. Okay. First hadith, and again, I'm going to remind you, we will be intending, we have an intent to memorize these hadith. If some of the hadith are very long and you have difficulty, it's okay. Do the best you can. Okay, and also we want this term, we want to start writing the hadith from the beginning. Okay, so one by one, every hadith, at the end of the class, or in the beginning of the next class, write the hadith. And you sit down and write it out. Get a notebook maybe for this purpose, or a pad, and write the hadith out during the week, 3 or 4 or 5 times, as many times as possible, until it's easy for you to write it. Okay, because some of us in the last term had a little difficulty writing some of the hadith, but mashallah, everybody who wrote the exam last time did very well, mashallah. Even though there was some difficulty in writing, that comes with practice. So this time, what we want to do, we want to start practicing writing the hadith, not just memorizing, reciting them orally. Okay, hadith number one has a title. The title is Fi Ma'i al-Bahri wa Maitatihi. There's no voweling there, right? Fi Ma'i. Yani after the preposition fi, the word is majrur, right? It's a majrur. Fi Ma'i al-Bahri. Al-Bahri. Ma' al-Bahri. Mudaf, mudafan ilay. Wa Maitatihi. وَمَيْتَتِهِ That means, يعني concerning water of the sea and its dead. And its dead. مَيْتَتِهِ مَيْتَ That which dies. Something that is dead. مَيْتَتِهِ It's dead. Meaning, the dead from the sea. The things that die in the sea. So this hadith is concerning the water of the sea and whatever dies in it. Okay? The hadith. عن أبي هريرة. A note also, please try to keep in mind the hadith, yani these hadith, yani the voweling, sometimes look at the voweling at the end of the words, because we want to make sure that when we memorize the hadith, we memorize all of the voweling correctly. Alright, so we have An Abi Hurayrata. Huh? Abi Hurayrata. Ta here is because it's mudafun ilayhi. Majroor, the sign that it's majroor is fatta because of what? Mamnu' min as-sarf. Tayyib. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في البحر هو التهور ماؤه الحل ميتته يعني عن أبي هريرة on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه may Allah be pleased with him قال he Abu Huraira said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم The Messenger of Allah said في البحر concerning the sea The Messenger of Allah said made a statement concerning the sea What did he say concerning it? هو التهور ماؤه هو التهور ماؤه Meaning ماؤه its water is pure الحل ميتته يعني its dead is lawful halal Its dead is lawful. That's the hadith. Okay? He said concerning the sea. And if this hadith came in reference to, as it's narrated in most of the books of hadith, in reference to a man who asked the Prophet ﷺ a question concerning going out to the sea and we carry a little bit of water with us. And if we use it to make wudu, we will be thirsty. We won't have any water to drink. And if we drink it, then how do we make wudu? So he's asking about the seawater. Can we use that? So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Huwa tahur. The seawater is pure. It's not only pure, it's tahir mutahir, as we'll see in the explanation of this hadith, means that it's clean within itself, and it is also suitable to be used for purification. It has two characteristics. It's pure within itself, and it's suitable to be used for purification, because not every water that's clean can be used to make wudu. Alright? So the water of the sea is tahur. It's clean within itself, pure, and it's also suitable to be used for purification, for a person to make wudu or ghusl or whatever. Okay? And he said also, wa yani al-hillu maytatuhu, the dead, the animals of the sea that die of themselves, they also hill yani halal, lawful. And there's a lot to be said about this, but in any case, what is important here is that this brief hadith is a very important hadith. It's a fundamental. It tells us that the sea water is pure. A person can make wudu. If you're at sea, you don't have any water, you can take some water from the sea and make wudu with it. And if an animal that lives in the sea dies by itself, you can't eat it. It's lawful to eat. You don't have to do the dhabiha. You don't have to, yani, cut its throat, drain the blood or anything. The sea animals, if they die in themselves, you can eat them. Okay, this hadith, it says, أَخْرَجَهُ الْأَرَبَعَةُ. أَخْرَجَهُ means it's collected by. Yani the scholars of hadith who collected it, you say, أَخْرَجَهُ الْبُخَارِي. أَخْرَجَهُ مُسْلِمُ. Here we said, أَخْرَجَهُ الْأَرَبَعَةُ. Anybody know what is Al-Arba? The four. Who's the four? The four collectors of Sunan. The Sunan of Abu Dawood, the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, and the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Al-Arba. When this expression Al-Arba is used, it means the four collectors of Sunan. There are other collectors of Sunan also, but it means these four. Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. Okay? So this hadith is collected by the four. Yani the Sunan of Abu Dawood, the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, the Sunan of An-Nasa'i with Fatta, not Nisa'i, Nasa'i. An-Nasa'i and the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Wa Ibn Abi Shayba. Yani those four, and in addition, it's also collected by Ibn Abi Shayba. Briefly, Ibn Abi Shayba is one of the great scholars of hadith. He was the teacher of Imam Muslim, and the overwhelming majority of the hadith in Sahih Muslim comes from his book, the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. Okay, his book is called Al-Musannaf, the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. He also collected this hadith, وَاللَّفْظُ لَهُ. Al-Lafdhu Lahu means the wording that we have here is for him. Who? Ibn Abi Shayba. The wording is specifically from Ibn Abi Shayba. At least that's what that's the intended meaning of this expression. While in reality, the wording in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Nasa'i are all the same as the wording in Ibn Abi Shayba. But in any case, that's the meaning of the expression, وَاللَّفْظُ لَهُ. It means that the specific wording here comes from that particular book of hadith. And finally it says, وَصَحَّحَهُ. يعني صاد with فتّة, حا with شَدَّة. يعني the first ha has شَدَّة and the second ha has فتّة. صح يعني you can see here the sa'ad has fatta, ha has shadda. This is from the form of the mazid verb fa'ala yufa'ilu, like allama yu'allimu, sahaha yusahihu. Okay, that means to declare something to be sahih. Sahahahu ibn khuzaymata wa tirmidhiyu. Yani who declared it to be sahih? Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah. Khuzaymah is mamnu min al-sarf, so it's mudawfun ilayhi majroor. The sign that it's majroor is fatta, because it's mamnu min al-sarf, wa tirmidhiyu. So these two scholars, yani Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, both of them declared this hadith to be sahih. And other scholars also, but that's how it is mentioned here. Okay, any questions so far about this hadith before we go into the meanings? And any grammatical points? Any question about the wording of the hadith? Any word in there that's not clear? Okay, let's look at it quickly one more time. Yani an Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil bahri. Yani Abu Hurairah reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning the sea, huwa At-tahuru ma'uhu, al-hillu maytatuhu. Yani it is pure. Yani its water is pure. and its dead is lawful. أخرجه الأربعة, reported by the four collectors of Sunan, يعني أبو داود, الترمذي, ابن ماجه, النسائي, and also Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf, and the wording is for Ibn Abi Shayba, according to what is written here, وصححه ابن خزيمة والترمذي, يعني الإمام ابن خزيمة and الإمام الترمذي, both of them declared this hadith to be صحيح. نعم, question.
Okay, at the end of the hadith, it said that أخرجه الأربعة.
نعم.
And الأربعة, you say that there is a Tirmidhi.
نعم.
Why at the end they say again, صححه
الترمذي? Okay, because, okay, good question, mashallah. He said, it says at the end of the hadith, أخرجه الأربعة. And amongst those أربعة is a Tirmidhi. So why does it repeat a Tirmidhi again? The first time, الأربعة means those are the people who collected it. The second time, are the scholars who declare it to be sahih, who said this hadith is sahih. It's not hasan, it's not da'if, it's sahih. So from those who said it's sahih, Abu Dawud didn't say it's sahih necessarily. Maybe Ibn Majah didn't say it's sahih. But At-Tirmidhi said it's sahih. And Ibn Khuzaymah said that it's sahih. So that's why we're mentioning his name again. He collected it and he also declared it to be sahih. Yani sometimes the Kutub al-Sunan, this is just a quick point, in the Kutub al-Sunan, yani they didn't have the strict rules of only taking hadith which are of the highest level, sahih, like Bukhari and Muslim. So sometimes in their books, there are hadith which are sahih, and hadith which are hasan, which are also acceptable but lesser, and there are even hadith which are da'if, in the Kutub al-Sunan, in the Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Nasa'i. Every one of those books have weak hadith in it, and hasan hadith and sahih hadith. So Tirmidhi, he had the habit of what? Saying, this one is sahih. Maybe Abu Dawud used to say, all of the hadith in his book is at least sahih or hasan. Otherwise, if it's less than that, Al-Imam Abu Dawud said, I will tell you. And if he doesn't mention that it's weak or has something, that means he considers it to be at least hasan. So each scholar, he has terminology and manhaj that he follows. From Tirmidhi, he used to like say, this hadith is sahih according to him. Okay, we don't want to go into too much discussion about this because that's not our intention now. Now,
mention again the four collectors.
The four collectors are Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. Yani Abu... No, that's a different thing altogether. Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, I'm writing this quick just so you can remember the names. Ibn Majah and who? Nasa'i. Okay, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay, these are the people who collected. Naam, akhi. Naam. This is what it says here in the book. It says this is the wording from Ibn Abi Shayba.
Right.
That's what it says. But in reality, the same wording came in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Nasa'i. Same wording came in all of them. But I'm just saying that's what it says here, just so you understand the terminology. Okay, let's go to the next page. Page 6. Ma'ani al-Kalimat. What is the meaning of Ma'ani al-Kalimat?
The meanings of the words,
the vocabulary words. Okay, we have one column. It says al kalimatu. That's the word. Underneath it, you see al tahur and you see al hil, and then beside it we have ma'anaha. In the first column we have al kalimatu, and then beside it we have another long column says ma'anaha. These words you need to know. Okay, al kalimatu means the word that we want to talk about its meaning, and then after that it has ma'anaha, yani the meaning of that word, the word and its meaning. Okay, so the first word is at-tahuru, and what does it mean? It means at-tahiru fi nafsihi al-mutahiru li ghayrihi. Okay, at-tahiru fi nafsihi. At-tahur means at-tahiru. These words are from the same root, right? It means at-tahiru fi nafsihi, means it is pure within itself. The water, this water that's tahur, means it's pure within itself. And secondly, it is also al-mutahhiru. Yani, it can be used to purify, to wash your body, to wash your utensils, eating utensils, whatever. Okay? It can be used to purify other things. This is the meaning of at-tahur. Means something that's pure within itself, and it's also valid to use it to purify yourself with it. Any question about this word, tahur? It means something that's pure within itself, and you can use it to make wudu, to make ghusl, and so on. The second word, al-hillu. Al-hillu. We can see that the root of this word is ha, lam, and lam, right? Like the word, famous word, halal. And that's the meaning of it. Al-hillu in this hadith means al-halalu. Al-halalu. Is the vowel on al-halalu dhamma?
No.
There's no vowel.
There's no vowel? So put dhamma there, okay? Al-halalu. Al-hillu means al-halal. We know what halal means, right?
No.
Lawful, permissible. Al-halal. Wadidduhu, and the opposite of it is al-haramu. Wadidduhu al-haramu. And the opposite of it is haram. Okay, these are the two key words in this hadith that I want to make sure that you understand. So we gave the definitions here. After this, the next point is ma'ana al-hadith, the meaning of the hadith itself. The meaning of the hadith itself. What is the meaning of this hadith? Ma'u al-bahri tahirun mutahhirun. The water of the sea is pure within itself, and mutahhirun can be used to purify others. وَيَجُوزُ الْوُضُوءُ وَالْغُسْلُ بِهِ وَيَجُوزُ. It is jawaz, yajuz. It's permissible to perform al-wudu, ablution, and al-ghusl, taking a complete bath. Bihi, yani using it, using that water, the water of the sea. وَمَيْتَتُهُ حَلَالٌ يَجُوزُ أَقْلُهَا. وَمَيْتَتُهُ, meaning the dead, it's dead. Who's dead?
The sea.
The sea is dead. It's dead. What dies within it is halalun, lawful. يَجُوزُ, permissible, eating it. أَقْلُهَا. The eating of it is permissible. وَالْمُرَادُ بِمَيْتَتِهِ. And what is intended by this word, مَيْتَتِهِ, it's dead. What is intended by it is not everything that dies in the sea, but rather ma mata fihi min dawabihi. Yani ma here means alladhi. Alladhi mata fihi min dawabihi. Yani so the meaning of maitatihi, the dead of the sea, what is intended by this is alladhi mata fihi, that which dies in it. Min dawabihi, from the animals that are from the sea. Not an animal from the land that somebody threw in the sea and it died. No. Huh? Yani ma mata fihi min dawabihi, alladhi mata fihi min dawabihi. That which dies in it, from amongst the animals that are originally from the sea. Mimma la ya'ishu illa fihi. From that which doesn't live except in the sea. Yani, it includes the animals that are from the sea that do not live in any place except in the sea. La, it doesn't mean ma mata fihi mutlaqan. It doesn't mean ma alladhi mata fihi mutlaqan. Yani, it doesn't mean whatever dies in it. Mutlaqan means unrestrictedly. Yani, without exception. Yani, mutlaq means no restrictions. Somebody says ma mata fihi mutlaqan, yani that which dies in it unrestrictedly, without any exception, everything that dies in it. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It means the animals of the sea that only live in the sea. It doesn't mean everything that dies in the sea. Wal ma'lum anna maytat al-barri haramun. And it is well known that the land animals that die of themselves are what? Haram. Land animal, yani a rabbit or what? A cow or a goat. If it dies by itself, you didn't slaughter it, it's not lawful to eat. But as for the animals of the sea, if it dies by itself, you can eat it. قال الله تعالى, the proof of this, that the land animals are not permissible if they die of themselves, حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 3rd Ayat, it has been made forbidden for you, الميتة, يعني the thing that dies of itself, meaning of the land animals, من البر, not from the بحر. That has been made unlawful for you. والدم, and blood, and the flesh of the pig, لحم الخنزير. That's the meaning of the hadith. Third point, ما يستفاد من هذا الحديث. What do we benefit from this hadith? يعني what are the فوائد, the benefits, points, rulings, manners that we get from this hadith? We have three. The first point that we should learn from this hadith, and it's important not just to know the hadith, but to know what it is a proof of. Otherwise, somebody reads the hadith and say, you know, I understand it this way. You know, this means you can do this and you can't do that. And they got it twisted. So we want to know, what does this hadith really point to? What are the benefits of this hadith that we can say, I know this for a fact because there's a hadith that proves it. So from the benefits of this hadith, number one, مَا الْبَحْرِ تَهُورٌ, يعني the water of the sea is pure. يَجُوزُ إِسْتِعْمَالُهُ فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ كَالْوُضُوءِ وَالْغُسْلِ وَالْعَادَاتِ كَالْتَبْخِ. يعني the water of the sea is pure. It is permissible. يَجُوزُ إِسْتِعْمَالُهُ, it is permissible to use it. فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ, in acts of worship, like ablution and taking a bath, wudu and ghusl. And likewise, it's permissible to use it in al-adat, yani in customary things, yani not related to worship, yani just the normal life things you do in life. Like what? Like cooking, washing your clothing, cleaning the walls and things, huh? Whatever. So it's permissible to use the what? Al-ibadat, worship, and al-adat, in the customary things that are outside of worship. That's the first ruling that derived from this hadith. The water of the sea is pure, it's permissible to use it in acts of worship and in yani the normal things that you do around the house. Number two, جواز أكل الميتة البحري. جواز الأكل ميتة البحري من سمك وغيره من حيوانه الذي كان يعيش فيه. يعني جواز أكل ميتة البحر, it's permissible, the permissibility of eating the dead of the sea. من سمكن, like fish, وغيره, and other things that are in the sea. من حيوانه, from its animals, the sea animals. الذي كان يعيش فيه, which live in it, in the sea. It's permissible to eat that which dies from the animals of the sea, fish and other things that live in the sea. Third point derived from this hadith, لا زكاة لحيوان البحر. لا زكاة, يعني زكاة here means يعني الذب. ذب. This is not زكاة with زي. This is ذل. لا زكاة. لا زكاة لحيوان البحر. يعني you don't have to kill the animals of the sea. You don't have to slaughter it. You don't have to do sacrifice, cutting the throat or draining the blood like you have to do for land animals. There's no zakah for the animals of the sea. You don't have to cut it or kill it. Alright? Three points. The first one, the water of the sea is pure, permissible to use for worship and otherwise, and also the permissibility of eating the dead animals of the sea from those that live in it. And the third one, sea animals do not require you to kill them in order to eat them. If they just died, no problem. If you catch the fish and put it in your basket and leave it there until you get back to land and it died, then when you get home, you cook it and eat it. Clean it, cook it, eat it, whatever you have to do to it. Okay, we have some questions here first. Yeah. Unless it's something that's not clear.
Yeah.
Your juice, yani as long as it's not harmful, it's pure. Yani it's pure, naam.
And it's salty.
If it doesn't harm you, there's no harm. It's permissible. It's permissible to drink. Now, if a person had no water whatsoever, right, and they were going to die, can they drink some seawater? It's permissible.
Because I was wondering why they didn't mention it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not normally drank, right? But it is permissible. The point is pure. It's permissible. Okay, we have 7 questions. Okay. And after these 7 questions, if we have time, inshallah, we're going to look at the introduction to the science of hadith. First question, we're going to do them orally. Please take the time, if you are able, to write them out in your notebook later. Number 1, لِمَنْ لَفْظُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Yani, to whom is the wording of this hadith attributed? نعم, لَفْظُ الْحَدِيثِ, لَفْظُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ لِإِبْنِ أَبِي شَيْبَةَ, لِإِبْنِ أَبِي شَيْبَةَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. Second part of the question, وَمَنْ صَحَّحَهُ. Who has declared it to be authentic? Ibn Khuzaymah and At-Tirmidhi. Question number 2, أَيَجُوزُ أَحْلُ لَحْمِ دَجَاجَةٍ وَقَعَتْ فِي الْبَحْرِ وَمَاتَتْ. Yani, is it permissible to eat the flesh of a chicken that fell into the sea and then died in it? It's not permissible because it's not from the animals that live in the sea. Question number 3. أَيُذْبَحُ السَّمَكُ. يُذْبَحُ يعني means zakah. Is it necessary to kill the fish?
لا.
It's not. There's لا زكاة لحيوان البحر. There's no need to slaughter, to kill the fish in order to eat it. Okay. Questions continue on page 7. Question number 4. إِشْرَحْ قَوْلَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم الحل ميتته. اشرح. Explain the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم الحل ميتته. What is the meaning of this expression الحل ميتته? What is the meaning? ميتته. It's dead is halal. يعني the dead of the sea is halal. What do we mean by the dead of the sea? Yani, the animals that live in the sea and don't live in other than the sea. So if it dies in the sea, no problem. Question number 5. ما معنى التهور والحل. What is the meaning of التهور first and then الحل? What is the meaning of التهور? نعم. One at a time. التهور. The word التهور, what does it mean? الطاهر في نفسه والمطهر لغيره. يعني means الطهور has two meanings. It's something that is طاهر, pure within itself, في نفسه, and it is also مطهر. مطهر, that which can be used to purify غيره, other than it. Also the word الحل. What is the meaning of الحل? نعم مصطفى. الحلال. الحل means al-halal, that which is lawful. Question number 6. اذكر الأحكام المستفادة من هذا الحديث. الأحكام المستفادة من هذا الحديث. What are the legal rulings that we benefit from this hadith? One of them. One of them. نعم. The water of the sea is pure. يجوزو. That's one of the rulings, is that the water of the sea is pure. It's permissible to use it for purification in worship and in other matters. Naam. And also that which dies in it is also yani permissible to eat. Naam. Another ruling from this hadith. La zakata lihayawan al-bahr. Yani that it's no need to slaughter, to sacrifice the animals of the sea. The first ruling is what? The water of the sea is pure, permissible to use it for ibadat and adat. Second ruling is that the dead animals that are from the sea, if they die in the sea, it's permissible to eat them. And the third ruling is that it's not necessary to slaughter them. Time is almost at the end. Naam, question. Somebody have a question? Okay, these are questions for this. What we're going to do, two things. We want to go back to the introduction and take at least one point from the introduction. But first we want to make sure if there's any question. Does anybody have a question about this hadith? Now,
for example, let's say that the animals that they in the sea, but they are also land animals.
That's the issue of ikhtilaf.
Okay.
They didn't mention that here because the intent here, right, is to mention those things that are agreed upon, that there's no difference of opinion about. All right? Now,
you mentioned at the beginning that the water is I'm not talking about seawater, just water itself being pure within itself is a different category when it's two conditions. One is pure within itself, and sometimes it's pure within itself.
No.
And you can use it to...
The one that you can use it to purify something else is called at-tahur. If it cannot be used to purify other things, but it's just pure in itself, it's tahir. Tahir. That's pure by itself. But if you can also use it to purify yourself, that's tahur. That's tahur. Now,
my question is, like when in the summer, for instance, they say on the news that the amount of fecal matter is too high and the water is unpure.
And anyways, what we're talking about here, we're talking about the natural state of things. Okay, the natural state of things. Like, it's lawful to eat beef. But if you know that the guy down the block on his farm is injecting it with poisons that will kill you if you eat it, then we're not saying that that cow is lawful. We're saying the natural state is that beef is lawful to eat. It's not harmful to health unless a person has some kind of sickness. Beef is permissible to eat. It's not unhealthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it lawful. He didn't make it lawful if it's harmful. Allah didn't make anything lawful that's harmful to people. Okay, and that's why the man who said, yani from amongst those who came and asked the wives of the Prophet about his life, and one of them said, I don't eat meat, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I eat meat. He told that one, I sleep in the night and I pray in the night. And he told that one, I fast sometimes and I pray sometimes. And he told that one, I marry women. Don't say you will not marry women. You will not sleep in the night. You will fast every day. And to that man he said, report on Al-Bukhari. That man said, I don't eat meat. And the Prophet said, I eat meat. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So whoever is not pleased with my sunnah is not from me. Okay, let's don't get stuck here because we want to finish our topic today. We only have a few minutes remaining. Okay, what we're going to do right now, Yani, we're going to look at the next hadith in case somebody wants to go ahead and memorize the hadith for next week. At the end of the class, we're going to try to read the following hadith. Okay, hadith number 2 on page 7. Hadith number 2, al-hadith al-thani, fi tathhir al-ina'i idha walaga fihi al-kalb. The purification of a vessel, a utensil that you eat or drink from, if a dog licks in it. What is this purification? This hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. On the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, طهور إناء أحدكم إذا ولغ فيه الكلب أن يغسله 7 مرات أولى هن بالتراب. يعني the dhamma and shadda should be on the ta. أولى هن بالتراب. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the purification of your eating utensil of one of you, إذا ولغ فيه الكلب, if a dog licks it, licks inside of it, licks something from it, the purification of it requires what? أن يغسله 7 مرات, that you wash it 7 times. Ulahunna, the first of them, biturab, from the surface, soil of the earth. This hadith, akhrajahu Muslim, is collected by Imam Muslim, wa fi lafdhin lahu, and in one of the wordings for Imam Muslim, it has fal yuriqhu. The voweling is not there correctly. Fal yuriqhu. Fal yuriqhu. Sukun on the lam, and dhamma on the ya. Fal yuriqhu. Yani meaning, in one of the narrations of Muslim it has, so pour it out. Whatever is in it that he has licked in, pour it out. And then wash it, yani 7 times, the first of them, with surface soil. Walit Tirmidhi, in the wording of Tirmidhi, in his wording of this hadith, it says, he has, ukhrahunna. أو أولاهن. يعني الترمذي has one of two wordings. يعني seven times أخراهن, meaning the last of them, or أولاهن, or the first of them. He has, it's either the last of them or the first of them is with تراب. Okay, this is the hadith for next week. We'll talk about it next week. Right now, we're going to just take a couple of minutes to look at one point from the introduction to the science of hadith. Okay, so we're going back to page number 3. Yani, page number 3 in the middle of the page. مقدمتون في علم الحديث. We're going to take the first point. معنى الحديث. معنى الحديث. The meaning of hadith. The word hadith, what is its meaning? Yani when somebody says, I want to study hadith, what does hadith mean? Okay? We're going to see. Hadith. Yani we're talking about the technical meaning of hadith. In science, of Islam, in Sharia, what is the meaning of hadith? Al-hadith, أقوال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأفعاله وتقريراته وأوصافه الخلقية والخلقية وهذا ما يعرف بالسنة أيضا. So what is the meaning of hadith? Technical meaning of hadith? This definition is a little bit more than maybe what you're normally going to see in a book, right? This is the definition of hadith according to ulama al-hadith. Scholars of hadith, this is their definition. Scholars of usul, they have their own definition. Fuqaha, scholars of fiqh, have their own definition. This is the definition of the ulama of hadith. What is the meaning of hadith? Aqwal al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa af'aluhu, and his actions. Wa taqriratuhu, and his approvals. Meaning, he saw or heard about somebody doing something, and he approved of it. That's part of the hadith, that's part of sunnah. Additionally, awsafuhu, al-khalqiyyatu wal-khuluqiyyatu. His descriptions. Al-khalqiyya means physical descriptions. Al-khuluqiyya means his characteristics. Yani, characteristics meaning his character. Right. He's truthful, he's honest, he's brave, he's generous, he's patient, he's kind, he's compassionate. That's khuluqiyya. Yani, awsafuhu al-khalqiyya, his physical characteristics, and al-khuluqiyya, his yani, moral characteristics. And this definition, وَهَذَا مَا يُعْرَفُ بِالسُّنَّةِ أَيْضًا. This is also how you define sunnah. Yani as sunnah, this is also the definition of sunnah. And his sayings and actions and proofs of the Prophet, and as well his physical and moral characteristics. Now, yani that's the definition, and this is the explanation of that definition. مَعْنَ تَقْرِيرَاتِهِ. What is the meaning of his approvals? تَقْرِيرَاتِهِ. The meaning of this تقريرات, it is هي الأمور التي أقر أصحابه عليها. يعني those things that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم affirmed or consented to from his companions. يعني he approved of things that he saw or came to know that they said or did. He approved of it. He agreed to it. He consented to it. كما أقر خالدا رضي الله عنه على أكل الضب على مائدته وهو جالس ولم ينكر عليه. And an example of this is that he consented to Khalid ibn Walid رضي الله عنه eating the dub على مائدته, يعني at the place where the Prophet was sitting eating in his presence. He allowed Khalid to eat from the dub. The dub is a masjidu. Yani it's a sort of a type of lizard from the lizard family. Yani it's a big, yani kind of sort of a lizard that's yani ugly. Allahumma musta'an. How can anybody eat it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't eat it, but he approved of Khalid eating it in front of him at the place they were sitting eating. That means he approved of it. That's from his taqrirat. Wa mana awsafihi al-khalqiyya, and the meaning of his يعني أوصاف, أوصاف is the plural of wasf or sifa. خلقية, it means هي الصفات الجسمية. يعني physical characteristics. الجسم means the body, like بدن, جسم, it means the body. So الصفات الجسمية, physical characteristics. Mithra, bayad al-wajj, whiteness of the face. Or sawad al-sha'r, blackness of the hair. Wa hakadha, shortness, tallness, and so on. Physical characteristics. Wasifat al-khuluqiyya, yani his characteristics of khuluq. Yani mithra al-sidq, truthfulness. Al-amana, trustworthiness. Al-jood, generosity. Al-shaja'a, bravery or courageousness. These are as-sifat al-khuluqiyya. And this is the end of the first point of the Muqaddimah Ilm al-Hadith. Okay, the definition of Hadith and the fine points of what it means. Please try to review it. Ah, naam. Al-shaja'a means bravery or courageousness. Al-jood means generosity. Person who is charitable. Al-amana means trustworthiness. As-sidq, yani truthfulness. And we're going to stop here. We have went for 56 minutes. Our time is 1 hour, but we started a little bit late, so we're going to stop here. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I urge you, encourage you, yani implore you to please, yani start from the first day. Take this serious. Memorize these hadith. These are the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And these are hadith al-ahkam that give us the proof and the support and the foundation for legal rulings in our deen. What we should or should not be doing. What's permissible and what's not. These are things that we need to know. If you memorize the hadith, you'll be on firm ground. As opposed to the sayings of people. Huh? Barakallahu feekum.